Next item on the agenda is item 6, York River Yacht Haven Associates 09-0013. I'm sorry, page 3 items. Gotta keep me on track. Page 3 items. Mr. Grab, good morning, sir.
We have three page 3 consent agenda items.
Good seeing you, Mr. Wilson. Take care.
See y'all.
Yep.
Placed before you this morning for your endorsement and approval. Briefly, and we'll have to take these separately. Federal Highway Administration, basically at the Colonial Parkway, had a cotrel dredging damage a pier piling where the bridge crosses Powhatan Creek.
Did they determine that? I knew that the investigation had been ongoing. Is this the one that did extensive damage to the bridge right there, or is it a different one?
I believe this was that, because they closed the bridge subsequently.
Yes. I had not heard they had determined
it
that
that's... Cotrel.
Okay.
They did call us after the damage had occurred. They had to do a sleeve on it. Of course, there's no way for the commission to administratively, you know, approve emergencies, but our position normally is, if it's a matter of public health, safety, and welfare, you know, do what you need to do, and we'll subject it to an after-the-fact. We did that. We ran the ad. We contacted the adjacent property owners. No one objected. It is an after-the-fact application, which requires commission approval, but we are recommending approval, and given the emergency nature of it, we're not recommending a civil charge, but they have agreed to a triple permit fee for the issuance of that document, which would be $300, and we would recommend that the commission endorse that.
Any questions, members of the commission, on item 3A? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Chairman. Bob, I would just ask for the basis of recommending a triple permit fee in light of the emergency nature of the repair. Can you comment on that?
Well, triple permit fees are authorized by code, and it's just given the after-the-fact nature. It's not really based on the degree of deviation or the environmental damage. It's just a fee that the code says the commission may endorse. We tend to recommend, if you're going to issue an after-the-fact permit, you know, the triple fee, but that's certainly up to you. But they have agreed to the triple permit fee.
Further question? Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to be heard on item 3A? Not the matters before the commission for action.
Move to take staff recommendation.
Motion made by Mr. Schick to adopt staff recommendations. There a second by Mr. Tanker. Further discussion on 3A? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item, 3B,
this
sir.
This is John Schaefer, and this is, believe it or not, really an after the fact.
Run it by me again and again?
Back in 1991, it came to our attention that they had constructed a bulkhead, replacement bulkhead, seaward of the existing bulkhead. We processed it for an after-the-fact permit. We sent it to them. At the time, we had put a triple permit fee on it, which would have been $75. That permit was never executed. It was never sent back. It was not until they applied relatively recently to expand their pier. The staff went out. We realized that the first permit had never been done. The Schaefers said they didn't realize that it had never been executed. We were in the process of issuing the permit and approving it. So in order to clarify things, we would recommend again that it be issued. But in this case, since it was 75 triple the first time, since it's still an after the fact, we've tripled it. We're recommending that it be 225. Now, there was no royalty assessed because during the time that this spill occurred, the commission was under the moratorium and could not assess or collect those royalties. Subsequent to an act of General Assembly, all those royalties that were held in advance were forgave. So essentially, there's no additional encroachments, so we're not recommending either a civil charge or any royalties, but we are recommending the triple permit fee.
Sounds fair. Any questions of Mr. Graham on 3B? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to be heard on item 3B that was just described? If not, the matter is before the commission.
Move to take staff recommendation.
Motion made by Mr. Schick, second by Mr. Fox. Further discussion. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, sir. Next
City item. Of Fredericksburg, 08-1541, actually received a permit from us to replace a 36-inch sewer line under a CSX bridge over Hazel Run. That line was to be installed within a cofferdam, and one of our standard conditions is that no more than half of the stream be blocked off at any one time. When the contractor actually went in to do the work, he, on his own, basically decided to lay three 36-inch culverts. Because the pipeline ran under the CSX, he essentially constructed a roadway, used that to do the work. The pipeline was placed on the opposing side. It was brought to our attention by the applicant's agent, Williamsburg Environmental Group, reporting the violation. We went out. It was done completely, incorrectly, not in accordance with the permit. We do not believe that it was really Fredericksburg. We believe it was basically the contractor, and it was a monetary ease of construction, conscious decision, on his part. We did not stop them from completing the work because at that point the field was already in there. We required a restoration plan. They submitted the restoration plan. We approved it. The work was completed in late November. The area has, in fact, been restored, but it's not the situation that staff would either have approved or mechanism that we believe should be condoned. In this case, the contractor has agreed to an $8,000 civil charge based on the degree of impact and the degree of deviation, and the city of Fredericksburg has agreed to a $300 triple permit fee. So with that, we are recommending that the commission accept that the area has been restored to send that message and approve that in lieu of further enforcement activities.
Does the contractor understand the error of their ways?
I believe they do.
Okay. If they don't, next time they come back, it could be more. I mean, this, we're not talking about, I'm certain, a mom-and-pop type of operation. We're talking about somebody that's...
It's a utility contractor.
And a calculation has been made, I can assure you. Questions? Anyone in the audience to be heard on item 3C? If not, the matter is before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Chairman, move to approve item 3C.
Motion made by Mr. Robbins to approve. Second by Mr. Tankard. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item.
And the final consent agenda is Clancy Herr, 040992. You'll recall that this was continued at the request of Mr. Herr's counsel, Mr. Eason, who is present this morning.
Okay.
From the November meeting when it was placed on as an enforcement item. Basically, you'll recall that staff had believed that what was authorized, in our opinion, as a riparian pier would have been 288-foot-long private pier. This is a pier that extends into a cove, which itself connects with Underhill Creek. This was done several years ago, and we gave at the option, Mr. Herr at the time, to get an apportionment done. Well, an apportionment wasn't done, and in fact, the pier was constructed to 290 feet, I think is what the length was. We decided at that point to bring it to the commission, compelling, removal. Mr. Eason was retained. They did, in fact, seek an apportionment from Judge Tyler on the Eastern Shore. Judge Tyler has, in fact, approved an apportionment, and in the court order approving the apportionment, the court is requiring that 50 feet of the pier be removed. So instead of being, what was it called, 290, it's now it's roughly
288. Now it's
58, so 238 in lieu of the 88. So it's more than staff had assumed, but it's certainly now in keeping with a court-ordered apportionment. This does preserve navigation into the cove, which is the one area where the commission could, in essence, overrule a court order apportionment, and that's to preserve, navigation. But based on the court order, we believe that once the pier is removed in its entirety, that in fact navigation to the cove will be preserved, it will be in keeping with the court order, and therefore it will qualify for an NPN. In other words, no permit will be actually required from the commission. However, the pier did exist, for several years. The HERS did make use of it for several years in violation of the commission's no permit necessary letter. So even though they've removed 50 feet, our recommendation would be that a civil charge still be assessed for that 2 years' worth of use of what amounted to the illegal structure. That civil charge of $1,200 has, in fact, been agreed to by the HERS. So if it pleases the commission, we would recommend that you agree to accept that civil charge, which will resolve the violation, which will allow staff then to issue a no permit necessary letter, and that will essentially close it out.
Okay. Any questions of Mr. Grab for members of the commission? Does council wish to be heard, or is that an acceptable summation of what the facts of the case are? Yes, sir. Matters before anyone in the audience wish to be heard on item 4C? If not, the matters before the commission for action. Mr. Tankard?
Move to take staff's recommendation on item number 4C.
Is there a second? Second by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion? All in favor of the item or the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Graff. Thank you, Mr. Eason. Have a good day, sir.